Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome at part two of a daily editorial for this first Tuesday here, the Tuesday before Christmas, and that's why I'm calling it the first Tuesday. Having said that, I want to begin by talking a little bit more about election integrity. After what happened in Seattle with Sawar Sadat, where she survived the recall, which she should not have survived, I'm very, very concerned about election integrity in 2024. Jimmy, you're the expert. Comment on that, would you?
So in 2020, because of the COVID, many states changed their rules to allow mail-in ballots or a massive amount of requested ballots for not being present at a polling station. Washington and California, Washington's been doing this for a long time. And Washington State has been successful at allowing Democrats to control that process. And we saw this in an election, I don't know, it was like 12 years ago with Christine Gregoire and Dino Rossi for governor, where they kept counting votes and kept finding votes until the Democrat won. And I mean, it was down to three recounts and less than 100 votes. And they found another box of ballots. And with those ballots, almost all of them went to Christine Gregoire. This was really the watershed event that showed the Democrats that they could use mail-in balloting or corrupt individuals. I won't say Democrats, but corrupt individuals that are willing to manipulate the system in order to win an election. And what we see, you know, if you don't have a moral high ground, if you don't have faith in the election process or the election system, then you've got no faith in your government. And what we're seeing now in America is a large percentage, as many as half of Americans, don't trust our electoral system.
Well, I certainly don't. I very definitely don't.
And when you have incidents like Sawant, who's, you know, a avowed communist who was way behind by like 9 or 10 points, and then she somehow manages, they keep counting, they find more votes. And this, of course, happened on the 2020 election night, where they stopped counting. The first time in American history that major urban areas, you know, five basic counties, stopped counting ballots, gave a break, and then all of a sudden more ballots came in and changed the outcome of election, where Trump was up by 14% in Pennsylvania around getting close to midnight. That is a very hard number to overcome. And they say, well, it was mail-in ballots because of fear of COVID. So you get a combination of people that are afraid of COVID, that are afraid of what's happening, and you get legislators and politicians that manipulate those people, and then you get people that actually, you know, commit fraud. And without having voter ID, without having a follow-up, when you as I mentioned to this show previously, I moved just before the election came out from one house to another, and I got four ballots in the mail. My wife and I, we both got two ballots because they automatically mailed them to my new address. No voter ID, not even confirming that I was at the new address. And we saw significant issues in our local elections and, of course, around the country with these key, just four or five counties that turned the tide of the entire election. And I think this is a very dangerous moment in history, and the Democrats continue to push these agendas that allow people to manipulate the system. And that's what you're seeing with these bills that they're putting on the floor. They're pretending they're for election integrity. They're giving everybody the right to vote. But what they're doing is they're giving everyone the right to vote, even people that are not authorized to vote. And they're giving people that are dead the right to vote. They're getting people that are from, you know, Mexico and Guatemala the right to vote. They're giving, as we see in New York, they're giving foreigners a right to vote in elections, non-American citizens. And that absolutely, in my view, is unacceptable. And if they're allowed to continue to do it, we will not, the American electoral system will not, it will collapse.
Well, let's compare real quick. Let's compare the American electoral system to the European electoral system. There are only one or two countries in Europe that have the same system that we do, the same system being defined as the following, Jimmy, and that is anybody can vote. It doesn't matter. You don't need any ID whatsoever to prove that you're a citizen, and you don't need any ID to even prove that you're literate, for lack of better terms. There are only one or two countries in Europe that would allow that. Why do we allow it in the United States? We allow it in the United States because people like yourself and myself and every single one of our listeners were asleep at the switch and they let it happen. We can't do that again.
Yeah, well, and that's the unfortunate part. And I will tell you that Republicans are at fault for it as well, because senior Republicans bowed to the pressure from COVID in order to change their policies in spite of the law in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, in Georgia, in Michigan. They allowed pressure, media pressure, political pressure from influential people, people that, you know, senior Republicans, because, you know, I think they didn't like the idea of a change in Washington that Donald Trump was bringing, and they wanted more power. And that's what it's about. It's about corruption. It's about who has power and influence, and basically taking away the vote from the average American in order to ensure that they have unchecked balance of power in the future. That's what we're seeing right now. And it's paid for by very powerful corporate influences. It's paid for by politicians that are bought by politicians that want to their individual power over the rights of others. And it's basically driven by ideologies that are false and fabricated.
Yep, no question about it. Okay, let's go on to the second topics that I want to discuss in this second daily editorial here right now. I want to talk about how we can win the election in 2024. Two ways, in my opinion, that we can do it. Number one, Donald Trump can come in as kind of a godfather for the Republican Party. Number two, Donald Trump can actually run the election, run it within the election with a very, very effective vice president. Or one of the very effective vice presidential candidates can come in as the nominee for president. Which one do you think would be more effective, Jimmy? And let's use names here.
So what I think happened to Donald Trump was the Clinton campaign created a narrative that was basically a false narrative against Donald Trump. And it wouldn't have mattered if it was Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or any one of the candidates that would have came out of that election in 2016. They painted a narrative, the media went with it, and of course the people we're talking about, the corporate influences, they perpetuated it. And those are basically globalists that want to manage our system in order to protect their financial interests. Google, Facebook, CBS, ABC, Viacom, you know, Disney, all these different groups that are basically control the vast majority of the media in the United States. Uh-huh. Financial benefit for them. So when we talk about who's going to come in, it's got to be somebody in 2024, once again, that has no fear and has the guts to stand up against that type of push, because it's going to happen again. What the advantage, I believe that Donald Trump will run again, and I believe he's going to run again, and there's some advantages to it. There's disadvantages because people still, you know, unsure. Some people don't like him, and of course the left hates him. But the left is losing the independent voters, and the independent voters by vast margins, by, you know, I mean, 20, 30 percentage points. They're losing Hispanic voters. They are moving into the same ideas, and understand that it wasn't about the individual Donald Trump. It was about the corruption inside Washington, D.C. So whoever comes into that race in 2024 has to be willing to take all the bullets that Donald Trump did in the past, but have the experience and the knowledge to be able to start hacking heads off, and I say that figuratively, but basically firing and dismantling the deep state inside of Washington and this corrupt corporate culture that is dominating American politics. Excuse me. So I think that he will be the front runner going in if he decides to go. If like you say, he wants to be the godfather. Obviously, Ron DeSantis is a fantastic case, but he's going to run again for election and governor of Florida. And he would have to start preparing now to run in 2024. You have to pretty much be in the race and collecting money and doing all the things by early 2022, which is right on. So I think that Ron DeSantis is not going to be a viable candidate. We know Mike Pompeo is trying to position himself. Chris Christie's trying to position himself. Nikki Haley potentially trying to position herself. Kristi Noem potentially trying to position herself for this next election. And there's a few other outsiders in the Republican Party that could be able to step in. But I really believe that a Trump ticket, and when it comes to making the announcement for the bright vice president, remember, it's in 2024 around convention time. So that's basically 3 years from now. Ron DeSantis, reelected Florida governor, and then announced as a vice presidential candidate in 2024, in the summer of 2024, makes, in my view, an unbeatable ticket. And I think that because you control, and when you start looking at the independents, you start looking at the Hispanic vote, you start looking about what he did in Florida, you see that they'll continue to control Florida, the Texas, they'll get some of these minority votes that they hadn't gotten in the past. When they start talking about the minority employment during the Trump administration, when they talk about the Democrats' continual destruction of our economy, these things go, I think, are going to be very, very important. And I think the most critical event is actually changing the media perceptions in America. People are starting to turn on Joe Biden and his administration right now. Even in the left-wing progressive media, they can't do anything but that because people are turning them off if they don't. And I think that Trump building this media empire, and there's some very interesting things going on underneath with Trump and coordinating with Getter, with Rumble, and some of these other social media sites. There's some interesting things going on to consolidate a potential media outlet that would speak away from Twitter, away from Facebook, away from the 20, the corporate media outlets, the big three, if you will, and then CNN. And I think that will position Trump in 2022 to have a very different perspective and do well in a 2024 election. And I don't see a candidate that's on the left right now. I really don't see a candidate that is going to step in and make a difference. Kamala Harris is really disliked. Joe Biden is not going to be competent enough. I mean, he should have never been president in the first place. We said it 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. He should have never been president. You can thank Jim Clyburn in South Carolina, where I am right now, for getting him into this position because of the black vote. And they needed a moderate Democrat, the perception of a moderate Democrat that was going to save the world from Donald Trump. Well, now it's pretty clear that that's not the case. So I don't see someone that's going to be able to step in on the Democratic side. I think the destruction of the Democratic Party right now and the progressive actions are putting them in a position where they will not be effective. They're going to be isolated. They're alienated in themselves from a large segment of the population. The only way they can stay in power is if they manipulate the electoral process. And I've got to give them credit. They did a fantastic job in 2020. I don't know if they can do it again. I really love this.
Well, to me, Jimmy, don't mean to interrupt you, and I apologize. I want to be polite here. But to me, the integrity of the election in 2024 is a very, very serious issue. And quite frankly, when I look at the venom that is being put across from the Democratic Party, whether you're talking about Pelosi or whether you're talking about Schumer or whether you're talking about the kid from, he's not a kid, but whether you're talking about the despicable individual from Hollywood, the venom is something like I have never seen. And that level of anger scares the daylights out of me. And the
But I've seen it.
Go ahead.
I'll finish. I've seen it before. I saw it in the early stages of the former Republic of Yugoslavia, just before they went to civil war. I saw it in Iraq with the Shiite and the Sunni, I see in the Kurds. I've seen this around the world where it devolves into violence. And that's the unfortunate part. People don't realize how close we are to that, and we really got to back off. I do trust our system if people don't manipulate and cheat on it. And that's the problem right now. And if they control the levers of power, if they control the Department of Justice, if they control the media, the propaganda, the three elements of power, guys with guns, Pentagon and the FBI, the guys with the power, the voice, the propaganda and the media outlets, and then the judicial system and the justice system, which is DOJ and Merrick Garland right now, they will, you can control a country. And that's what I'm afraid of. And they're going to, in order to keep this type of control, they're going to have to clamp down harder. We're going to see what happens in the next few weeks, in the next few months with Omicron and the actions the Biden administration will make.
Right.
But, you can see it in Australia. You can see it in Austria. You can see it in New Zealand, these incredible lockdowns. You see it in Germany. You see it around the world where politicians are using this virus as a tool for authoritarian control. And it's happening everywhere.
Exactly.
It's got to stop.
Exactly. And we got to take a break here, Jim. We've been going for about 15 minutes. What I would like to ask everybody to do is please, please, you guys, Larry, Ebelon, everybody, out of the box, Irish Tony, be a vocal part of our team. Let us know that you are part of our team. You're not going to make any money because we don't make any money, but we can be very, very vocal and we can make a difference. We can make a difference in the morality of our country, my country. Thank you. Jim, thanks, bud.
Always, pal.